If you have your Bible this morning, let me ask you to take it and turn me, please, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy and chapter 1 in our scripture for this morning. Let me mention to you that we are going to be doing, the pastor's already explained, what's in person, what's not in person, and when it's being shown or whatever taking place during the special meetings this week. You will find that we'll be doing in the evening program tonight, we'll be doing something from the Puppet Castle. There's another friend from the Puppet Castle will be coming. I'm a ventriloquist as well as a puppeteer, so I can get myself really confused. It helps to, some people say, how do you do that? I always tell them it helps to be schizophrenic. That works really well. But we'll be having a visitor from the Puppet Castle tonight. In that time, in the Monday night service, besides some special music, and those services are going to be quick service. They're going to go by before you know it. They're just 60 minutes long. That's the amount of time we have to be able to work with. And so there will be a special number each one of those nights. There will also be Monday night a chalk art drawing done. There'll be two chalk drawings done this week. The first one will be in the service Monday night. The other will be in the Wednesday night service. So keep that in mind. If you've never seen a chalk drawing done before, in about 15 minutes in each of those services, I'll draw a full color picture with music and story in the background and colored light and black light effects on the drawing as well. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you if you've never seen one of those done before. We're going to give away both of those drawings on Wednesday night to the folks who are responsible for getting the most visitors to our special meetings. Now, what's a visitor? A visitor is anybody who's not a regular attender of the church here or school. It's somebody you invited, asked to come. They came because you invited them. You can't just see somebody you don't know walking across the parking lot toward the church and say, hey, would you be my visitor? It has to be somebody that came because you invited for them to come. Now, if you're watching online and you have to stay home and can't make it out to the in-person services, any of the other services, you can get somebody to come over to your house and watch. You can get your next door neighbor to come watch, or somebody across the street to come watch. Bring their kids to see the puppets, whatever else, or the chalk drawing. They can count as visitors, okay? So you have to keep track of that, and then we're going to be giving away both of the chalk drawings on Wednesday night to the folks that have brought the most visitors all the way through. So counting even this morning, if you were able, if you're watching online, to get a neighbor to come over and sit down and watch the service, listen to the message, they can count as a visitor, as long as they're not already a member of the church here or their kids don't come to school here that way. But let me encourage you to be inviting them, others to come and to watch, and you can count those as visitors, or any that you get to bring here, they count as visitors as well. On the other two nights, that would be for this evening, of course, we'll be having a visitor from the Puppet Castle, but also on Tuesday night, there'll be another story from the Puppet Castle, and that'll be going on in the auditorium, and so we want to encourage you to keep that. Those will be online, recorded Monday night and Tuesday night services, but I just want you to know what you'll be seeing if you tune into those. So just think of it that way. It's tonight it's some ventriloquism. On Monday night's chalk drawing, Tuesday night's puppets, Wednesday night's back to the chalk drawing again for the last night. So that's going on, and there'll be special music each one of the services too. So I encourage you to be sure to be there. One other thing that you may or may not know, you won't know about unless if you're watching online. In the hallway out here in the lobby in the back of the church, there's a table sitting there that has some items that are beyond the platform ministry of our team that you could take advantage of when you're here this week. There are music recordings of our family there. There are audio and video versions of Bible stories from the Puppet Castle available there. If you missed the story this morning, Homer and Big Al were telling about the snake bite, the rattlesnake, whatever else that way. Unfortunately, that story is not on any of those recordings, but there are a number of other recordings on there. The DVDs, there are four of those. There are two stories on each of those. The CDs of the puppets, there are four stories each on those, and there are three volumes of that as well. You can take advantage of that there too. Messages we're preaching this week can be found in a sermon box out there as well. There's also a missions display out there. The Lord gives us an opportunity to have an international evangelistic ministry, and we're usually out of the country at least once a year. Sometimes we were up just a couple years ago, we were out of the country for 5 months preaching the gospel as well. We were to be in Fiji in June of this year, and directly from there to Australia for another month of ministry in July, but we've had to postpone those because of the borders in those countries being closed. The Fiji had done a really good job of keeping COVID out of there for most of the time, but they've just had an outbreak of that there too, and so they're having a problem with that as well. So even if we could go there, and we can't because they won't let you in, even if we could go there, we'd have to quarantine 14 days before we could even begin to minister there, and that would be half our time there. So we're rescheduling that trip. We've already rescheduled the Australia trip to August of next year instead of this year. So, but we do raise the funds to make those trips by putting a little box on that end of the missions table. So if you are here sometime and want to go in and look at the table there, you'll find on this one side all the recordings and things you can purchase. On the other side, you'll also find the missions display that has some things from Australia and some things from Fiji. If you want to get an idea of what we're doing as well, there's a digital picture frame on the table there that runs photos of those kinds of things that we do oversee. So feel free to stop by and take advantage of those things and look at those things as well. And so I would encourage you. For those who may be wondering, is there anything new that you have since you were here the last time for meetings? Yes, there is one recording that is new. It's new to us anyway. My father, as I mentioned, was an evangelist, preached the gospel 67 years, had another man who traveled with him for 45 of those years, who was his music man in the ministry. My father said he was the only creature like him in captivity. The reason why I said that is because Brother Babcock was a self-taught musician. He could play different instruments, played the piano very well, played the organ very well. In fact, they carried a whole Hammond organ with them and a Leslie speaker to go with it wherever they went in their ministry. And they would set it up on one side of the platform and turn the piano 90 degrees to that. And Brother Babcock would play the organ with one hand and the piano with the other hand and the pedals with his feet and that kind of stuff as well. But one of the interesting things that he did was write music. And my father used to do gospel magic or gospel object lessons, whatever you want to call it. In his services, every night he would, in their meetings, do a trick for about 5 minutes, teach a Bible lesson while he was doing it. But before he did that, anybody in the crowd could raise their hand and give Brother Babcock a title for a song. Could be Jesus Loves Me, could be Jesus Is Coming, it could be Is There Any Spaghetti in Heaven, or something like that. And while my father did his magic trick, Brother Babcock would sit on the organ bench and write a song, words and music, for that title. And after the trick was done, play and sing that back. There were 8,000 songs he wrote like that over his time with my father. My father said a new song born every night. Some of them were buried the next day, but most of them stayed around and very, very clever. Some of them we've taught them. In fact, when we were here the last time for Family VBS that we did, we taught some of those choruses that they sang. I'm going to heaven and I can't wait. And others like you can't roam with a skunk and smell like a rose. Or there's one called the Back Pew Baptist and some other things there too, including one called Is There Any Spaghetti in Heaven? But those are on a recording called Unusual Songs and Stories that we have remastered and re-released. It's the only recording that my father and his associate ever made for children. And so it's there for everybody. My dad used to say it's Unusual Songs and Stories from kids 5 to 95. And so you can enjoy this. He also does two dramatized gospel stories on that as well, while Brother Babcock plays the organ with the sound effects and the music to go with the story in the background, just like they used to in old-time radio things. And so you'll enjoy that if you pick that up there. That's available on the table as well. We can handle that through cash or check or credit card. We can even handle out there. If you see me or see my wife, Cheryl, she'll be glad to take care of you for those things. So I just want to let you know what's there. Won't take much more time to be able to mention those during the other meeting, but just want you to know what is available beyond what we're doing online in the services and in person when you're coming for those. You find your way to our scripture passage, I hope by now. If you are able and can stand, I'd like to invite you to stand or ask you to stand if you're able as we read our scripture passage for this morning in honor to God's word. Let's stand. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. The Apostle Paul, writing to a young man by the name of Timothy, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Let's remain standing for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this Mother's Day. We're so appreciative for mothers, Lord. We pray that you would bless them, particularly those that have been faithful in raising up their children in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's even one watching today who does not know him as personal Savior, whether mother or otherwise, Lord, I pray that today might be the day of their soul's salvation. But as we honor mothers on this day, Lord, I pray that as we look into the Word of God and see what made Timothy's mother and grandmother moms that impact, Lord, I pray that those who are mothers today will take seriously the Word of God's instruction, and that might be those who will impact the world as they teach teach their children and raise their families. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake today. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach to you this morning about mothers who impact. Mothers who impact. On this day that we honor mothers, it's good for us to think about how much moms really do. A life of a mother and being a mother isn't an easy thing. As a matter of fact, by the time a child reaches 18 years old, a mother has had to handle some 18,000 extra hours of child-generated work alone. In fact, women who never have children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. So that's a lot of work that moms do. One junior high science teacher, for example, was lecturing on the properties of magnets one day for his science class. And the next day, he gave a quiz to his students. The quiz read like this. The first question read like this. My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. Half the class answered when the rest of the question, what am I? Half the class answered, mother. Mother. All right. Have you ever heard this quote? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That gives you a little bit of an idea how much influence moms have on the families and the people around them. Or you may be more familiar with this very true phrase that perhaps you've heard this one. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You know, there's some very interesting portraits in the Word of God of various mothers and motherhood in the Scripture. For example, the mother of Moses cared so much for him that she broke the law in order to keep him alive and teach him the truth of the Word of God. We also find the sacrificial love of one mother who's not even named in the Old Testament, who appeared before King Solomon with another woman, remember, who had claimed her daughter as her own and was willing to give up her child to someone else whose child it wasn't in order that her child might live and not be slain. Then you have Proverbs 31, where the mother of King Lemuel advised her son about things like godly living and even picking a good wife in his life. These are some interesting portraits of some things in motherhood that we find in the Word of God. But I'd like to introduce you this morning to a young woman whose name was Eunice. She was raised in a religious home and was greatly impacted by her mother, whose name was Lois. She likely learned stories from the Bible when she was young and enjoyed going to services when she could to learn about God. Eunice eventually grew up and was married. She married a husband who was a Greek, and they had a baby boy whose name was Timothy. Little Timothy was a delight to everybody, but his mother and grandmother must have spent hours with him, teaching him the stories of the Old Testament, praying with and for him, and training him in the things of God. Then one day, a preacher by the name of Paul came to town of Lystra and spoke about someone named Jesus. Both Lois and Eunice listened intently, and they saw in Jesus the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament and placed their faith and trust in him as their Savior. They were converted. These new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ then turned their focus on teaching Timothy all they could about who Jesus was. We know from the book of Acts that Paul himself took a personal interest in Timothy as a teenager, and partnering with his mother and his grandmother eventually led him to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Later, Paul and Timothy partnered together even in the gospel ministry. And many years later, while Paul was in prison awaiting his own execution, he writes two letters to this young man, Timothy. These letters contain teaching about how Timothy should behave as a church leader and also are filled with some reminiscing on Paul's part too. As Paul writes these letters that we know as 1st and 2nd Timothy, he reflects on the women who made such an impact on young Timothy's life. I'd like us to look at three passages of Scripture that Paul deals with and look at what these women did, his mother and his grandmother, that made him successful for the Lord, that had such an impact, not only in him, but through him on the rest of the world and in Christianity as well. I want us to notice, first of all, that according to the Word of God, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Lois and Eunice both impacted Timothy's life, and therefore the lives of others, by instilling a love of the Scriptures. By instilling a love of the Scriptures. What does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14? He writes to Timothy, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul writes to him about the great truths of the Word of God. What was it he was learning? He was learning the Scriptures. But of whom he had learned them is what Paul states in this passage of Scripture. From whom did Timothy learn all of this important information that would bring him to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as a life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ as well? It was from his mom. From his mom and his grandmom, he learned the things of the Word of God. Timothy didn't just fill his head with instruction, but internalized it and then lived it out, having been convinced of its truthfulness. In fact, I believe Timothy did this because he saw it modeled in his mother and his grandmother every day while he was growing up. This is what we are learning, first of all, in being instilled with the love of the Scriptures. First of all, from whom he learned. He learned it from his mother. He learned it from his grandmother. In many cases, that's the case of so many. In my own personal experience in my life, I learned a great deal about my service to the Lord Jesus Christ from my mother because, see, my father was away from home preaching in evangelistic meetings 4 weeks out of every five, 3 weeks out of every four. And when he was home, he was only home for 5 days. Much of the teaching that I learned growing up was from my mother. And I appreciated my mom taking the time to give me an interest in the Scriptures. Not only do we see from whom he learned, but we notice what he learned. 2 Timothy 3:15 shows us what it was that Timothy learned, not just who it was he learned it from. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice what it was that Timothy learned. He learned that from the Scriptures, he learned the purpose of the Word of God was his salvation through the process of faith in the person of Jesus Christ. He learned that from his mother and from his grandmother. In the manner of devout Israelites, grandmother Lois and mother Eunice taught the Holy Scriptures to Timothy from the very beginning. In fact, the word child, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, is actually referring to a baby or a toddler. That's how young. So from the very earliest time that Timothy could begin to understand the truth of the Word of God, his mother and his grandmother began to instruct him, began to teach him any way they could about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the things of the Lord. They gave him a love for the Word of God. They gave him a love for the Scripture. Lois and Eunice provided high-powered Bible classes for young Timothy, even before he could walk. They read to him. They talked about Samson and Samuel and David and Ruth and Abraham and Noah. They did everything they could to provide Timothy with the opportunity to learn and all he could about the Word of God, the Bible. And then how did he learn it? We know from whom he learned it. We know what he learned. We know from how he learned it, because it tells us in that he learned from the life of his mother and his grandmother. Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 to 7 is a passage of Scripture that tells us, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We know this is what they did in Timothy's household. From the time he got up in the morning to the time he went to bed at night, his mother and his grandmother were teaching him the things of the Word of God, and he learned not only hearing from their teaching, but watching the lives as they put into practice that truth. Listen, because these mothers had God's Word in their hearts, they were able to impress it on young Timothy. You can't teach somebody else what you don't know, amen? If you're going to teach somebody how to know Christ as personal Savior, you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. Listen, I would ask you, whether you're here today or whether you're online, moms, are you sure there's been a time in your life when you truly repented and turned from your sins, believed on Christ, and received Him in your life as your personal Savior? If not, then you haven't experienced the saving power of Christ in your life. But I've got some good news for you. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And if you've never done so before, you today can repent and turn from your sin. Acts 3:19 says, Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. What's it mean to repent? Well, it's more than just a fire escape deal with God or fire insurance. There's a lot of people who hear what the Word of God says about the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23, and that the wages of that sin is death, Romans 6:23, and that every sinner who dies in their sin will face separation from God in hell and then stand at a terrible great white throne judgment and then be cast into a lake of fire for all of eternity. And there's some people who say, oh, I don't want to face any of that, but I don't want to change the way I live my life either. I want to continue to be selfish. I want to continue to do my own thing. I want to continue to please me. I want to continue to live the way I want to live, but I just want to know, preacher, what have I got to do to get to heaven? What do I have to pray? Oh, yeah, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. Whew. Man, now that I prayed that magic prayer, I'm going to keep living in my sin. I can keep being selfish. I can keep doing my own thing. Because why? I prayed that magic prayer. I said the magic words. I get to go to heaven. Is that true? Well, I like to put it this way. According to the Word of God, if you don't mean business with God, He doesn't do business with you. And Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. If you've not done that yet, then you're not going to be the effective, impactful mom you can be in the right way. You may impact your children, but in an awful way by being a self-centered, sin-centered life mom. God's Word tells us you need to repent. Then what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you personally believe that Jesus is God? Like Eunice and like Lois did, like they taught young Timothy to do. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God, that He came from heaven, that He was born without sin, that He lived a sinless life, that He died in your place, that He rose from the grave on the third day, and that only He can save you? Because if you don't have faith in Christ, you can't be saved. Again, it says the things that he had heard were from the Word of God, the purpose of which was to lead him to salvation. And in order to teach him how to be saved, his mom Eunice and his grandmom Lois had to be saved themselves. Then what? Repent, believe, and receive. Receive. Hey, lots of people hear about Christ. You may even be somebody watching today. You may have grown up in a Christian home and you heard about Christ all the time, but you never put your faith and trust in Him. There's never yet been a time when you've ever called on Him and accepted that gift of eternal life. The Bible says how we can receive Him. Romans 10:9-10 and verse 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that before, you need to do it today. Because the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so if you're going to be able to be a mom that does what Timothy's mom did and impact the life of your family, then you need to first of all teach the Word of God and live the Word of God as well. Moms, it's never too early to start teaching the Bible to your children, and it's never too late to start even if you haven't been doing it already. Thankfully, you don't have to do this all by yourself. The church has programs like Sunday school and children's church and other activities for young people, or did before COVID came along. Some of them will be restarting again. These are opportunities you have to let God use God's people, God's leadership, other teachers to help instruct your family. But understand that God never intended for a Christian school or the church to be the only one that teaches your family. God wants you as a parent to instruct your young people. The Bible tells us this is what you need to do if you're going to instill a love of the Scriptures in your family. You can do this by encouraging two things: Scripture meditation and Scripture memorization. I wonder the rest of the adults that are here that aren't moms, or even if you are a mom, when you're growing up, did your parents, did your mother encourage you to meditate on the Word of God, to read the Word of God? Did your mom encourage you to memorize Scripture and get as much of it in your head so that it could go down in your life, in your heart and come out in your life day by day? I can remember my mom read the Bible to me from the time I was just a little fella. And even when she wasn't reading it, she would often put Bible story records. You remember what a record is? Vinyl? Record? Anyway, she used to put Bible story records on the stereo. Remember what a stereo was? To be able to play so that we could listen. I grew up listening to Bible stories around the house. And when that wasn't running, the Christian radio station, the godly Christian radio station was running in the background when we were going to church, when we were coming home from church. Mom always kept the streaming Word of God going on in our lives day by day. And Mom also encouraged memorization of the Scripture. Not only just when you had to memorize it for Sunday school classes or whatever, but when there were competitions in camp about who would get a prize if they won, if they learned the most verses. Mom always encouraged me to be the one that would win the trophy, to be able to do that, to learn the Word of God, to learn the Scripture. One of the reasons why I can stand in the pulpit today and quote Scripture after Scripture after Scripture as I preach is partially because I had a mom who encouraged me to memorize God's Word and to meditate on God's Word. Why is that important that you get the Word of God into your head so that it goes down into your heart so it can come out of your life anytime? Because let's face it, for example, most witnessing opportunities you'll ever have as a Christian, you're not going to have a Bible nearby. Most times you're going to be tempted to sin. You're not going to have a Bible nearby to dig out. Oh, got to read a verse and see if God can give me victory over that. No, but the more scripture that you meditate on and memorize and get in your head and your heart, that's ammunition the Holy Spirit of God will have to be able to use to work in your life. So I want you to realize that the first thing that made these mothers successful in impacting the life of Timothy and of other Christians because of the influence Timothy's had in the Word of God is because Lois and Eunice instilled in Timothy a love for the scriptures. There's a second way that you can be a mom who impacts, and that is to infuse a living salvation or faith. To infuse a living salvation or faith. What do you mean by that? Well, you see this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Here's what Paul writes there in our scripture. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. What does he do? He traces the faith of salvation that Timothy possesses back through his mother, even to his grandma. They wanted to infuse in him not just a love of the scriptures. Knowing the scriptures allows the Spirit of God to take that word and work in the heart of somebody and draw them to Christ. That's why Lois and that's why Eunice wanted Timothy to love the scriptures, to meditate on it, to memorize the Word of God. Why? Because it would lead him to a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice I said to infuse a living salvation. Though Lois and Eunice were believers, Timothy needed to come to faith in Christ. Faith is not hereditary. Remember that. What do you mean? It's not handed down through your bloodline. Some people want to say, I'm going to heaven. Why? I was born into a Christian family. Hey, let me ask you a question. If a cat crawls into an oven and has kittens in there, do we call them biscuits? Of course not. Just because somebody's born into a Christian family does not make them a Christian, because salvation is not handed down from your bloodline, from your parents. There is something it is. What's that? Sin and the consequence of death. But salvation can't be handed down from your parents to you by the bloodline. Bible tells us, rather, that faith is communicated. It's communicated from one to the other. It's not hereditary. It's not handed down through the bloodline, but it is handed down by teaching from the Word of God. When mothers model a living faith, they create an environment where children will want the same kind of faith. That's why Paul uses the word unfeigned. It means it was not hypocritical. It was real and without pretense. Faith had taken up residence in grandmother's and mother's heart and was now alive in his own heart. These two moms were sold out to God, and Timothy knew it. And you know what? Nobody knows better than a child whether their parents' faith is real. If you really aren't living for the Lord, if you just phone it in, as they say, from day to day, the first ones that are going to notice are your children. They're going to see the way you are when you're not in public. They're going to see the way you are when you're at home, when things aren't going so well, and all of the rest of that. And so, but we need to, if you're a mom today, take your own faith seriously first if you want your children to take that faith seriously in their own lives as well. They might do the same thing when they get older if they see that in your life, because as you demonstrate your faith consistently by reading the Bible, praying, attending services and worship at church, bringing your kids to the programs at church that will help them grow for the Lord Jesus Christ, and participating in the life and mission of the church, you'll send a very strong message to your children that they ought to have a personal faith and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I heard once about a pastor who was visiting a man and trying to talk to him about becoming a member of the church. And after he'd spent a little bit of time talking with him, the man finally said, yeah, I'd like to join. And the pastor said, well, what was it that I said that caused you to want to join? He said, it wasn't anything you said. It was what my mother lived. It's what my mother lived. The reason the fellow wanted to even join the church was because of what he'd seen in his mom. And as I think about a genuine faith that way, a true example of faith that was passed from mother to mother and to a son, I'm convinced that a mother like this, like Eunice, that's going to be a godly mother that impacts their children, is going to be more interested in her children's souls than in their bodies or their clothes, in her children's eternal life rather than in their success in this life, and in her children's relationship with Christ than their popularity in the world around them, and her children standing before God than their social status in society. and her children's spiritual accomplishments will be more important to her than their intellectual, musical, or athletic accomplishments. A mother who passes along a faith that is genuine is without a doubt a praying woman. Any home in which faith is passed from generation to generation has to be a home of prayer. One can't imagine Lois not praying for Eunice or Eunice not praying for Timothy. And we read this in Acts 12, verse 12, that the mother of John Mark opened her home for a prayer meeting while Peter was in prison. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, Mary, the mother of Jesus, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the disciples of Christ. Prayer is the hallmark of a godly mother. And I can remember, listen, when I was growing up, I lived in the basement. In the nice room in the basement. It was the nicest room to be in all year round because it was the coolest in the summertime and it was the warmest in the wintertime. We didn't have air conditioner in our house. It's called a big fan in the upstairs attic window when it got really hot. But that was the nicest room to be in. The other reason it was a nice place to be was because all the heating ducts in the house ran by that room. You could hear what anybody said in any part of the house. But I can remember many times going to sleep listening to the sound of my mother and my father, or just mom when dad was away, praying for me, praying for us children, that we would know Christ, that we would love him, that we would serve him, that we would grow up to be what God wanted us to do. Think about it. Timothy's family environment was fertile to his faith development. Both his mother and his grandmother held their faith deeply and shared it freely. Mothers and grandmothers, I would ask you, are you infusing a living salvation or faith? Or are your kids looking at something fake, put on, phoned in? I remember my mother reading her Bible. I remember my mother leading family devotions when dad was away. I remember my mother getting us all to church every time the doors were open. Hey, listen, there was no staying home from church at our household. I can only remember two or three times when we did not make it to church the whole time I was growing up. And that wasn't because we didn't try. That was because it was wintertime. And my mother, what my father referred to as the queen of the back alley. If there was more than one way to get someplace, she knew all the back roads. And the only time we didn't make it to church was when she tried all the ways there were, and we couldn't get there any of those ways. And by the time we could have gotten there, the church service was over anyway. Mom always made sure we were in church. There was never a question of, are we going to go to church? Mom instilled that importance of being in God's house. And I can tell you something else my mother did. She sang out in every service. I learned to sing parts by listening to my mother sing. She sang alto in church services. I learned about that as we would sing sometimes in the car going places. And it was always singing songs of the Lord. It was always a blessing to be able to know that. And so the first way to be a mom that impacts is to do what? To instill a love of the scriptures. The second way to be a mom that impacts is to be able to inspire a living faith, instill a living faith in your children as well. But there's one more that I want to mention to you before we close our time this morning. And that is, if you're going to be raising a godly family as well for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to inspire. The third way is by inspiring a life of service. Inspiring a life of service. After Paul preached in Lystra and Timothy was converted, he returned a short while later. And you pick up the story in the scriptures in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, where the Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him." Now, when we look at that passage of scripture quickly before we close today, I see three very important things. Three qualities in Timothy that were no doubt passed down to him by his mother and his grandmother. What were they? Number one, first, he was a disciple. The word disciple is used there. He's referred to as a disciple. Luke, the author of Acts, could have referred to him as a believer, could have referred to him as a Christian, but he chose to call him a disciple. Why? Because a disciple is one who was serious about Christ, not just one who was going through the motions. We've already established how he learned to be serious and not just go through the motions, because he had a mother who lived for the Lord faithfully and didn't just put it on before others. Second, he was distinguished. He was not only a disciple, he was distinguished. The Bible says the believers in the area, those who were in the city of Lystra, the believers in the area spoke well of him. People knew him as a man of integrity and as a man of the word. He was rock solid. Again, this had to do with his mother and his grandmother. They taught him to be rock solid in his service to the Lord Jesus. Third, he was dedicated. He was dedicated. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. As you continue to read in Acts, you're going to see that Timothy was eager to minister. He knew it meant leaving home. He knew it meant facing hardship. There is no way this kind of commitment to ministry happens by accident. It had to be taught. It had to be taught to him. Who taught him? His mother and his grandmother taught Timothy about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He developed it because he was encouraged at home. When Paul stopped in Lystra for the second time, he enlisted Timothy to be a special assistant to replace John Mark. Paul refers to Timothy as his beloved son. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 17 and 1 Timothy 1 2, he calls him his own son in the faith. In Philippians 2 verse 20, Paul says he can't think of anyone like Timothy when he writes, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Think of that. He couldn't think of anybody else but Timothy, who cared about the state of God's people like he did in the Word of God. Paul thought very highly of Timothy and couldn't wait to unleash him in ministry. Moms, grandmoms, I would ask you, are you inspiring a life of service in your children or your grandchildren as well? You can do this by embodying a life of service. Hey, listen, I already told you, my mom went to church every time the doors were open. She sang in church and she served. She was a church pianist for a while. She was a Sunday school teacher. She was a children's church worker. My mother served the Lord. You can do this by encouraging a life of service. My mom encouraged me when my father wanted to take me with him. She encouraged me to go along with dad to sing and to do other things in ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only can you do it by embodying a life of service like my mom did and encouraging a life of service like mama did, but enabling a life of service as well. Enabling. You know, they talk about people, are you an enabler? Well, let me ask you, mom, are you or grandmom, are you an enabler? What do you mean by that? There was one summer, my best friend from church, who was a ventriloquist, and I were traveling with my father's evangelistic ministry. We were in high school, went to church in South Carolina, and they had a puppet ministry there. I did not see them do anything with the puppets. I didn't see a program done. I didn't see them do a story or anything. But we looked at their stages, and we talked to the man that week who was in charge of it, who was working on various projects involving that ministry. And my best friend and I looked at each other and said, you know what? We could do that in our church. So we went home and I went to my mother and I said, hey, we'd like to start a puppet ministry. She said, good. I said, mom, I need you to make some puppets. Wow. My mom had never made puppets before, but you know what? My mother turned right around and smiled and said, well, you draw the patterns out and I'll sew them together. My mother did everything she could. In fact, we still have puppets that we use in our puppet ministry today that were made by my mother back then. We still have some puppets like that that were made by my mother. And I'm thankful. My mom enabled me to start a puppet. We went to the man in charge of children's church, said, hey, we'd like to start a puppet ministry. Can we help you out in children's church? And they said, oh, we'd love to have you do that. And so we started it. My father, when he was home, went and got some cardboard from the International Paper Company, and we built stages out of all that with some wood to frame it together. And we did puppets in that children's church ministry every single week. We quit for the summertime because everybody went away on vacation and they didn't have children's church then. But you know, when we got to coming back to children's church again the next year, we talked to the man in charge. Hey, what's going on this year? What are we going to do? You know what he said? You guys don't need me here anymore. You can do this yourselves. So we did. From age 15 till we graduated and went to Bible college, my best friend and I ran the entire children's church ministry in our church. You know what? My mother was behind the whole way. Yay, yay, rah, rah, rah. Yeah, moms are the cheerleaders. Ought to be. If your children have any inkling at all in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and they should if you're doing your job as a mom, then you ought to be the one that helps to enable them. You have to take them by car, drop them off, and it takes some extra gas. It's worth it to enable them to a life of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. My mom did that, and my mom enabled my father to serve the Lord Jesus. Dad would never have been able to be out on the road preaching the gospel if mom hadn't been faithful at home teaching the kids, encouraging us, being an example, taking that instructive place on Dad's place when he wasn't home. And I'm thankful for Mom that did that. You know, you can also do this not only by embodying a life of service and encouraging a life of service and enabling a life of service, but you can also do what Timothy's mother did by exalting a life of service. Exalting a life of service. My mom praised serving the Lord to us. Anybody that was serving the Lord, you know, that's exactly what the Word of God tells us here. When Paul wanted to take Timothy along, Eunice and Lois, hey, go. What an honor. What an opportunity. You ought to go with Paul. And they were proud that he was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I already told you how my mother would sit in the front row in church services and she would cry sometimes. I'd have to tell Mom, you got to quit that. She wasn't crying because she was upset. She wasn't crying because she was sad. She was crying tears of joy. She was excited that I traveled with Dad. And then she was excited that we started our own evangelistic ministry and we had the opportunity to have them along with us toward the end of our ministry. She was thrilled about that. I'm thankful my mother always, when we were growing up, hey, when missionaries came through town, they came to our house to eat. Whether Dad was home or not, they came to our house to eat. Mom always kept, along with Dad, they always kept people that were serving the Lord in front of the rest of the family. Why? So that if the Lord would call us to serve the Lord like that, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. There were many hours spent talking to my mother in the kitchen after coming home from school about what I was going to do with my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my mother encouraged me, just like my father did. My father said many times, son, if God calls you to preach, don't stoop to be the president of the United States. And my mother had the same opinion and let us know that. Moms, closing, if you begin by instilling a love for the scriptures so that you can infuse a living salvation with a goal of inspiring a life of service to Christ, our children are to learn the Bible and grow in their faith so that they can become difference makers in the world. Have you taught your family that? They weren't born in your family to learn how to make a bunch of money, build a big house, have a fancy car. They were placed in your care to teach them how to make an impact on the world for Christ. How to take the message of the gospel to those who are lost. How to share the scriptures through their business. How to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and all the activities of their life. So that they can share their faith with others, so they can minister in the church and in their school. Are you teaching your family to do that? Are you encouraging them to sing in the choir, work with the youth department, and be in all the different classes and special things that are going on? That's all stuff that moms can do. Are you teaching them to identify their spiritual gifts and use them on a regular basis? We're saved to serve. We're to be disciples who will disciple others. We're equipped so that we can evangelize the lost and dying world. Let me sum it up this way. Moms, you can make, and grandmoms too, you can make a significant spiritual impact in your family by instilling a love for scripture, infusing a living salvation, and inspiring a life of service. You can do the same thing my mom did for me in my life. Mom taught me to love the Word, to serve the Lord, and to reach the world. That's what a godly mom does. Teach your family how to love the Word, serve the Lord, reach the world. A mom, a grandmom who does that will, like Eunice and Lois, Timothy's mom and grandmom, impact not only just your family, but the world for Jesus Christ. Let's bow together for a prayer.